Good morning. That was okay. Good morning. Oh, there you are. It's good to see you this morning. My name is Michael Tome. I get the pleasure to serve as the head of school at Concordia Lutheran High School. And every now and again, I get a chance to sub in for Henry and provide a message. And I just want to start by saying I love this place. I really do. I love coming. I love seeing all of you. I love being connected to all of you. And I love just the culture and the aura that's around Promise. And so thank you. Thank you for investing in each other, into this congregation, and thank you for investing into our family in the ways that you do. As we started last week, Henry talked about connections and connecting with people. And so we've been distributing these sermon notes. So if you are pen and paper type people, then we have these sheets in the back. So if you would like one and you don't have one yet, if you could raise your hand, we have people that are willing to distribute those among the group. So if you'd like one, go ahead and raise your hand, keep it high, and I will do my best to follow along on here and say what they expect me to say on here. Okay, looks like we got one more in the back there. Okay, so this morning what we're going to talk about is we're gonna expand on that idea of connection, but we're gonna use sometimes a very ordinary thing to try to illustrate this connection we have with each other. And that thing that we're gonna use is we're gonna talk about water. As we get that first slide up there, how many of you have ever been to a restaurant and when the waiter or waitress comes to your table and say, "What would you have to drink?" You'll say, "I'll just have a glass of water," right? We've all said that, right? That's what we do. I'll just have a glass of water. And some of us then proceed to order other types of drinks, but initially it's water. And it's a very mundane and ordinary thing, right? We order water. And even that picture up there that you see, it's just water. And our perception of it is that it's a very ordinary thing. How about in your house? You know, you get up in the morning, maybe you splash some water on your face. Maybe you brush your teeth, whatever you do, you hop in the shower, it's just water. And maybe, you know, like my house, sometimes maybe your kids turn the water on and then they go and do 15 other things, right? And then they come back to the water, right, that's still running. Anybody have that in your house too? But it seems very ordinary, especially in our society, especially in our culture in America. Water is very mundane. But what I want to do is as we illustrate water, I want to use it as a foundation to maybe flip that idea and that perception on its head. And I want to talk about three things with water. I believe that water has three very specific and tremendous effects. One is a nourishing effect. Water nourishes. Two, water destroys. And three, water connects. And so we're going to lay the foundation on the first two, and then we're going to try to bring it home in our connection with people and water's connecting power and how we can use that to think about our lives with each other, but most importantly, our lives with Christ. The first one, water nourishes. Did you know that our adult bodies are made up of 60 to 70% water? Maybe you knew that. Maybe not. Did you also know that you could survive a long time, maybe 30, 40 days without food, but you're only going to last 3 to 5 without water? You need it. It's the thing in your life that you need in order to make your body function. See the next slide. Here are some things that water does in your body. See, deep down in my heart, I'm a science guy. That's what I love. I love to think about science and most importantly, biology and how the body works. And so these are really interesting facts to me. One, the flow of blood through your body, which carries oxygen, requires water. The very functioning of your brain, which is kind of an important organ, relies on water. The transfer and absorption of nutrients in your body relies on water. See, you can eat food, and you can have all the nutrients you want, but without water, it's not getting in and out of your cells, and it's not doing your body any good. How about the movement of nerve impulses through the nervous system? I work in a high school. This one's really important to me. The balance of hormones. Kids, drink water, please. Right? Try to balance that out a little bit for us. but it's really important. It nourishes our body. And God uses it and gives us an abundance of it because he knows we need it. He created us. He knows the inner workings of the cells in our body, and that water is so very important to that going right and well. You know that most health professionals will say that the number one leading cause of people in their illnesses is they don't drink enough water. The morning service said beer. I was just kidding. They didn't. Not all of them anyways. But water. People don't drink enough water. And truly, if you drink more water, your body functions in a more healthy way. But it's so mundane to us that we hardly think about it, and we hardly make time for that. Let's use that as an illustration. The next thing is, water can be a destructive force as well. As a matter of fact, the most common natural destructive force on Earth is water. Sure, earthquakes and volcanoes can be very destructive as well. But overall, water is the most common destructive force. So you've got things like tsunamis. You got things like hurricanes, floods. Did you know that the average bathtub holds 40 gallons of water and that weight is about 330 pounds? 1 cubic yard of water, 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet, weighs almost 1,700 pounds. And if you get that amount of water, moving at about a 35 to 40 mile an hour clip, as you have in a tsunami or even in a hurricane or a flood, it becomes one of the most destructive forces on Earth. Any of you homeowners out there had water in your basement? Yeah. Laura and I got to experience that this spring. It's loads of fun. But the reality is you can't stop it, right? I mean, once water starts getting in, it's hard to stop. It can be a destructive force. And so this rather mundane resource that we take for granted and nourishes our body and does all these wonderful things can also destroy. Next slide. We have a school, a Lutheran school in Houston, Texas. There's a couple of them, actually. This one is Lutheran South Academy. It's pre-K through 12, and they got hit pretty hard by Hurricane Harvey. This is the inside of the school, by the way. 51 inches of water fell. Flooded their hallways. Next slide. Flooded the outside of their buildings. They just put in a brand new gym floor. And now it's a little wavy. It's destructive. And it takes them off course because they can't go to school now. They got to enact a bunch of volunteers and money to help put the school back together, and there's lots of folks helping out. Turns out to be a really neat story. Because even in water's destructive power, it's connecting lots of folks and to help rebuild a place that at its core shares Christ with young people and with its community. Water also connects. And that's where I want to spend the bulk of our time this morning, talking about water's connection. And so I want us to think about this. Water has a very different connection for us than what brick and mortar might have, as an illustration. So we have this, they built this wall so I could do this message. But at any rate, this is a cinder block, right? And it's connected to this other cinder block. And you can see them over there, and you can see them over there, and you can see them behind you. And the connection they have is very stagnant. So if that brick over there, one of them over there, you take out, that wall over there is likely going to be unaffected. It's a very stagnant connection. Water is very different at that. And so I want you to think about, first of all, being stagnant. So sit up very stagnantly, very solidly. This is a connection that most of brick and mortar has, but not water. Water has a flow to it. You can do it. I know you can. Water has a flow to it. For those of you listening at home, I want you to know your church has rhythm. All right? It's got flow to it. There's a connection. It's fluid. So we can see that when water flows, but how do we translate that into our own lives? Let me try to use a little bit of an illustration as we go forward. My wife, Lauren, who's sitting here today, and I have been married for 12 years. September 2nd was our wedding anniversary, 12 years. And as we think and talk and reflect on those 12 years, we discover that we have lived in 8 different homes, across 5 different cities, and between the two of us has held 12 different job titles. That's a little bit of a journey. That's a little bit of a flow. That's not stagnant. But I would offer to you that not necessarily the places that we've been, but the people that God has brought in and out of our lives is a great illustration of that connectedness that we have. And even if you have lived in Fort Wayne your entire life, I would argue that you have the same types of experiences. People flow into your lives and flow out. You flow into other people's lives and flow out. And the question is, why? Why? Why do we have such fluidity? And I would argue that God allows us to be connected in that fluid way. And God equips us with the gifts and abilities so that when you're presented with a new connection, by His grace, by His command, by His intention, that has an effect for His kingdom. I think about as we have moved to different places. And one of the challenges when you move to different places, especially when you have kids, and especially when you have young kids, and you're not moving close to family members, there's a bit of concern there, because if we're out of the house, or if we have something to do, who do we trust to watch our kids? Who are we going to actively say, hey, we're going to go here for a while, and we'd like you to keep an eye on our kids? For those of you parents out there, you know that's a pretty big decision. And each time, each place we've lived across the 5 different cities, God has always, always provided someone in our lives to take care of the things that are the people that are most precious to us, our kids. And they didn't know us before we came here. And sometimes we keep connections with those people after we leave, and sometimes it was a connection for that time and that place. But God specifically gifted them to be a blessing to us and then open their hearts to come up to us and say, hey, if you need help, let us know. And most of the time when someone says that, you're like, yeah, thanks. But then when you really need it and you see that connection, you start to recognize how God works with this relationship. But this connectedness also causes problems, right? Because we're human beings. It causes problems because the connections that we have get broken. You know, this fluid connection that we have in life, and we can use water as an illustration. Remember, water also destroys, and a lot of times our relationships can hurt. I mentioned earlier I had the pleasure of working in a high school, which means that Monday through Friday, and sometimes Saturday, and sometimes Sunday, I get to connect with lots of people. And most of those people are between the ages of 14 and 18, which most of the time is a great thing. But sometimes, Friday, about 5 or 6 o'clock, I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. And sometimes, the people I really don't want to talk to are in the age group of 14 and 18. I'm just being honest. It happens. And sometimes I would much rather just be by myself. And sometimes I close the door to connections with people. You know, Henry talked last week as we introduced this idea of connect. He said, you know, sometimes we don't connect or don't want to connect because we don't like people. Right? Maybe you can relate. Maybe that happens to you. I have a great admiration for people that are always willing to talk, because sometimes I'm not. And I wonder sometimes that when I shut myself down, what connection am I missing? Who might God be entering into my life so that He can help, or so that He can use me to further the gospel? And I shut that down. And I think that happens. And sometimes we've been hurt in our lives, specifically by other people and relationships. We shut that down. And I want to be real about that, because that's a real thing. It's a real thing. Hurt and pain in relationships is real. Amen? Anybody else? It's real. And it's at that very point when we recognize, man, I can't do this on my own. Or when I'm presented with a situation, maybe it's a student, maybe it's a staff member, maybe it's a parent, and they're coming to me with a problem, and I have absolutely no idea what to do or what to say. And I get that feeling, that realization that I am helpless without Christ, that the only way this connectedness, this flowing in and out of people's lives, the only way that that works is first with my connection with Christ. Getting into his word, praying, talking to him, listening to him, being connected to him through the means of grace, communion, baptism. That connection with Christ is so important because out of that flows our connection with other people. Out of that prepares us for when those people flow into our lives and flow out. And ultimately, God uses us to spread his love to those people. And God uses other people to spread his love to us. And the only way we're ready for that, and the only way we can do that, is if Christ is at the center of our most important relationship, that being him. This last slide up here is a slide of Jesus' baptism. We've been talking about water this morning. And it's wonderful, wonderful abilities. And I want to share with you this morning that water, as signifying our baptism, is such an important thing to remember. Because when we're at our lowest point, when we recognize and realize that we just can't do it, we remember our baptism. When we recognize and realize that we fall short and that we're sinful people, we recognize and realize that we've been washed over through the waters of baptism because of what Jesus did for us. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose again so that our baptism means something. It washes us clean every single day. And we can take hope in that baptism. And we're connected through that baptism. You know, baptism takes two things, right? Water and the Word. God empowers that water to make a difference in our lives when we enter into his kingdom. So I have three challenges for you this week. Three things that I'd like you to think about and remember. Number one is just for physical health. Drink more water. Be conscious of that. Drink more water. Two, think about the fluid way that you're connected with people. And that connection to take us somewhere, that this journey in life is taking us somewhere. And those connections are real and intentional and God-driven. And thirdly, never, ever, ever forget your baptism. Never forget the power that water has to wash you clean, purifying your heart for a very simple reason, and that is so that you can live with God in heaven for eternity. So that not only are we connected here, but we're connected in heaven for eternity because of the sacrifice and the love that God has for us. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.